I landed in Zurich for the first time in my life on a warm Saturday night in June. It was for an overnight transit with a connecting flight early next morning, so I decided to meet up with some friends at a nightclub. When my friend went to the bathroom, a tall, handsome guy asked me for a dance. I said yes. I was asking you, like, where are you from?
And I said, I'm from here. Where are you from? And you said, I'm from Stockholm and my plane goes in 3 hours.
As we said our goodbyes, Martin asked me if he could take a selfie with me. The picture turned out well, so he sent it to me. From the airport, I emailed you my boarding pass, like, I didn't lie, I'm actually boarding my flight right now. We started sending emails back and forth with passion, like several times per day. And then we decided it was time to meet again. So I flew down to Zurich to hang out for a weekend. And Martin surprised me with a picnic by the Zurich lake.
You were getting ready.
Getting ready.
Yeah, you were putting on your bathing shorts or so. And I saw you in the kitchen with this big scar that was running all across your stomach. So, of course, my spontaneous reaction was like, oof, what happened there? Oh. And then you told me, it's a big scar with a big story. I'll tell you over lunch. And we went then to the lake and we had lunch and you told me everything. And I must admit that I was feeling very vulnerable because I was like, okay, here I am. I'm falling madly in love with this amazing person who just got out of chemo, basically.
But Martin was different. He was lit up in a way like no one I ever met before. And making it through cancer seemed to make him so ready to grab life. And I loved that energy about him. This felt real. After some months of writing and texting back and forth, along with weekend visits, a job opportunity came up for me in Zurich. So I decided to go for it, move to Zurich, and move in with Martin.
But of course, I had my moments during this first month, months when I was crying. I was at home and I started to cry about your situation.
Wow.
And how vulnerable, how crazy vulnerable I felt of just being so in love with someone that has a disease that could come back, you know.
Wow. Yeah, because you never told me and I never felt that. It was for me so impressive that you were just going in. You never gave me, showed me the feeling that you're like scared or you, and this was for me such an amazing, how should I say, it's energy, you know, that
I place the trust in you in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's the point. You by your commitment you trusted in me and that gave me a lot of positive energy and confidence, like that. I mean, this is like very brave. Yeah.
Martin continued to gain traction for his triathlon story, and he was invited to speak at TEDx Zurich.
I got my diagnosis 2 years ago, and according to numbers, I should be gone in one. But this is not defining how I live my life. Today, standing here, I have no traces of any tumor inside of me.
Well, that was not really the case. Standing there on stage, Martin actually did have traces of cancer in his body. But we both didn't know that at this point. And 1 week later, Martin has a follow-up scan.
I was going to getting the results
in the hospital alone because I was so convinced, yeah, it's just another control.
And I tried to call you around 11:20. And I didn't get a response. That's when I got, like, quite nervous. And I think it was right before 12 o'clock that you called me.
Yeah.
And you were crying and you told me they found some metastasis in your liver.
Yeah.
I just told my work, I have to go. We had a scan and it was showing something in the liver, so I have to go. I started Googling metastasis. What is metastasis? I have no idea what metastasis is. I don't know, I just hurried home to be with you.
I was in the bed and it felt like if you have like a balloon and just somebody opens the knot and all the air goes out and you're completely flat. There is like, it was like nothing, no energy left.
So what were the thoughts you were having at this point?
That maybe this cancer is stronger than me. Like I was scared that this is the beginning of the end. That was like what I was scared, that this is like, okay, we did radiation, we did one of the heaviest chemos, we did surgery, we did everything. Like it felt like we did all the arsenal we used, and now it just pops up again. So it felt like even running 3 triathlons was not enough to beat this cancer. And so I really felt like this is the beginning of the end.
Martin was in our room, crying and being sad, and it started itching in my fingers. I wanted to help him, but I didn't know how. After nervously walking around in our apartment for a while, I got to think about this story a colleague at work had mentioned to me, about this woman, Catherine, a pancreatic cancer survivor in her 30s, who had very bad chances at first, but now she's doing fine.
And my first response was like, oh, leave me alone, or like, I was not in a mood of being coached. I wanted just to disappear in the covers of this bed. Dear world, leave me alone.
But I went on Google and I started looking. And after a while of searching, I found her blog. I started skimming through it and then I took my laptop with me into the bedroom.
And you started to translate because it was in Swedish. She was writing that they were able to shrink their pancreatic tumor and that it was huge and that she's doing well. And that was like, because I was in this sad soup of emotions, and then you come with a story of somebody else who had something that worked. And that was a huge game changer for me.
And for the next month, that story stayed with us as Martin underwent surgery again. They could successfully remove the small tumors from Martin's liver, and he recovered well from his surgery. Once he was back on his feet, Martin wanted to interview Catherine so that other people could be helped by her story too. So I wrote to Catherine and asked her if we could come visit her in Sweden and hear her story. She said yes.
Did you have
fun to
this? Oh, you did?
We had so much fun meeting Catherine that day.
I say diet, control. Mm-hmm.
We felt a real connection to her and her husband, Carl. And as we left their house, Martin was more encouraged than ever to tell more stories. He started talking about going out there, seeing the world while discovering and interviewing more cancer survivors. He knew he wanted to do this, and he wanted to do it in a big way.
You know, when you get cancer, and especially when you get a cancer with a very dark prognosis, then you make your mess. You think like, okay, maybe I'm not going to get 80 years old. So should I just stay in my four walls, or should I maybe try to take a look at this world and see something before I cannot move anymore?
As for me, I wasn't in the same frame of mind. I just got a promotion at work. I was in the middle of hiring a new team, and I just moved to Zurich 1 year ago. I just wanted to settle into my everyday life. But Martin couldn't get the idea out of his head, and he wanted to prove that he could make his vision become reality. So he started to apply for grants to record more interviews with cancer survivors. He also started to document his own journey with cancer, mainly with his camera.
Ja, sehr schön.
He recorded stuff all the time.
Eins, zwei, Papagei. Gut.
He even recorded the next scan results with our doctor.
Okay. Well, I don't have very good news for you, unfortunately, yes. On the CT scan, we see again 3 lesions in the liver. Yeah.
Okay.
The cancer was back. The multiple treatment Martin had had during the last 3 years, chemotherapy, radiation, and the surgeries, didn't work. The doctor offered us 2 options. Do nothing, or go for an experimental treatment.
And so, what you do? You go for the pill and you hope for the best, or are you maybe destroying the last 6 months that you can actually go and see the world? That was my thought process.
I was like, I'm gonna go to work. And you're like, are you sure you're gonna go to work? I'm like, yeah, I have to go to work. I have some meetings. I'm gonna be home early, but I'm going to work. And I was putting on my work clothes. And as I entered into my office, everything was normal again. People were asking me questions about stuff that I could answer.
While I avoided the situation and dove into work, Martin needed to make a decision. So he went to see his therapist to talk it out.
She told me, look, do the decision you will not regret if the cancer comes back.
So he decided to go for the experimental treatment, which meant he was going to be wiped out for the next 3 months. And we would deal with that situation in our very own ways.
With TV, I was just getting bored, and then another animal documentary in the afternoon or whatever, and you're like, oh my god, it's so boring.
So Martin turned to YouTube, and he ended up watching the same kind of videos over and over again. Videos of people sailing around the world.
So, I'm gonna do my part for the environment today.
Good work.
Yeah.
Just showing how amazing their life is, like hopping from island to island and just filming what they do. And I was just like, oh my god, that's so beautiful. And I was like hangovered in bed and just dreaming of going and do the same.
And super active people like the vlogger Casey Neistat in New York City.
To the haters, the doubters, my 7th grade vice principal, to everyone who's ever told anyone with a dream they can't, this video's for you.
Yes, does a lot of things and he's very active and he goes running and he's like, you can feel he's like in the flow of life.
That's a cup half full attitude for you right there.
And it was like on the other pole of where I was. I was in chemo and I was like struggling to eat half a plate of pasta to not vomit it out again. And it was just the perfect way to distract myself.
As for me, I started getting weirdly obsessed with sugar.
Have you heard of mitochondria? Okay, mitochondria are the little organelles.
So I read many alarming articles about it online, and I was convinced that sugar was the route to Martin's cancer.
ATP. ATP is the energy.
With each additional cup of green tea a day, associated with a 4% lower mortality risk.
I brewed loads of pots of green tea, hoping that Martin would drink it.
So maybe drinking several cups of tea daily can keep the doctor away.
After 3 months of exhausting treatment, YouTube videos, and green tea, Martin's cancer was removed by surgery, and they had a look at the mass they removed. Turns out that the experimental treatment had zero effect on his tumor. We'd run out of options, so Martin went back on his old chemo, and I kept going to work. And one day, I was in a meeting discussing which shade of pink to use on a poster. That meeting went on for hours. And I felt myself slowly zooming out of the discussion and had a pressure on my chest. I couldn't stay in that room anymore. I couldn't pretend all was well at work. So I made up an excuse and said I had to go. I went out of the office and got on my bike.
And I started biking, and I was like, I don't know where to go. I don't want to be at work. I don't want to go home to face the situation we have. Where should I bike?
After a while on that bike, I decided to call our downstairs neighbor, Sophia. And she said, "Come here right away. Have a sit on my sofa. I'll make you a cup of tea."
And I went and I sat on her sofa for maybe 2 hours. You had no idea that I was in the house. You thought I was at work. And then you called after 2 hours and said, "Hey, we have to go urgently to the hospital because my pump has like gone out of my body and I have chemotherapy on my skin." And I was like, "Whoa!" You know, running up. And we went into the hospital and they cleaned this up. And that was okay. But I felt actually much stronger after that meeting with Sophia.
Martin's chemo didn't go as planned. And he wasn't well enough to interview survivors. So he realized he had to cancel the application to the grant.
I picked up my phone and I was pretty open and just told her, "Look, I'm back in treatment and I'm not sure if I should like submit my idea for the pitch, for the final pitch, because if I get a grant, I don't know if I can deliver."
They still encouraged Martin to apply.
Because the reason I was doubting the submission was that I was also doubting myself and I was doubting my body. And that they said, "No, they really want me to submit." Somehow, and probably they were not aware of the meaning of their decision for me. But for me, this meant they have hope in me also as a patient, as you know. So of course that was huge.
And some weeks later,
"Dear Martin, thank you for resubmitting your application to Cochrane. We are pleased to inform you that the jury has decided to support my survival."
Nice. You saw it just now.
He got the money.
Oh my God.
And he can now think seriously about his mission.
I want to make sure that if anybody on this world puts in cancer survival rate in Google, that next to the horrible statistic, there is an authentic personal story of somebody, of a human, of an example, like how you cope with it and how you can keep walking while still fearing that you're going to die.
And even though he's still on chemo, he starts planning a world trip.
I don't know if it was me or you or this idea.
I think it was you.
Probably it was me.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so I came to you again with the idea and I said, once this is finished, I want to travel the world.
Yeah, exactly. This time it was not really a suggestion anymore. It was more like an ultimatum. And my first reaction again, yeah, but is this the best and smartest thing to do? Because what if the cancer comes back and I have no job and we both resign?
Leaving all behind felt unpractical. But more than that, it felt desperate. Does this mean that we're embarking on our last trip together? I wasn't sure I was willing to give in to that thought. But after a while, I stopped saying no and started saying maybe.
Party.
Yes, tea. Well, welcome.
Tea party, yeah. Very. Well, welcome. Yeah.
Very good.
And I agreed to do a test run, try another interview together, and see if traveling the world really is as crazy as it sounds, and see how it would feel to work together. So we went to see Greg.
So now I feel I'm also getting nervous.
No, me too. My hands are starting to sweat. I'm warm for the first time today.
Yeah.
More on that in the next episode.